Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little... Put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Just to finish our previous conversation, do we know what these are called?
Portable charger docks.
Portable charger docks.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We were gifted. We've had a few of these in our house over there. We take them on vacations with us.
Do they ever become useful? You plug multiple devices into it when it's charged and you're like out cutting down a Christmas tree or something.
Sure.
Right? Or on a plane.
I have never had a need for this item. I don't. I'm sort of a psycho about keeping my stuff charged.
Okay.
All the time. You know, and everyone is different like this. One of my sons and I are alike this way, and my other son and my wife are people who will be sitting there on their phone, and it's at 2%, and they're not thinking I should plug this in. Eventually, they get around to it because it dies, and then they plug it in. But I often will just sit when I'm at home working, at night or in the morning or afternoon before I come here. I've got a charger nearby. My iPad is plugged in, and I'm using it, but it's fully charged.
How many miles tend to be in your gas tank when you get gas? I mean, how many how much left?
I recently got below a quarter tank for the first time in probably 20 years.
Can you believe that?
I'm not even kidding.
You never let it get below a quarter tank.
I shouldn't say that. On road trips, it probably regularly gets lower because, you know, you're... But like around here, like in town, I'm half...
That is so strange to me.
It's part I'm a psycho, and it's also... You know, what comes with not having to be anywhere at an exact time all that often? You know, like we don't have a clock to punch here. So if I'm coming to work and I'm a little bit earlier than I feel like I need to be here by, and I look at my gas tank and it's not super windy or nasty out, I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to fill up the tank now. Because I got 2 minutes and it's not that bad out. So I'd rather have it full now, and that way I don't have to do this when it's a blizzard.
My whole thing is like getting gas as close to zero as possible when you're as close to empty as possible, because the amount you spend at the gas pump is like how it fills. It always like is the full tank or almost the full tank.
Mm-hmm.
So to live in a world where it's between a quarter and a half. And there'd just be so much variance in what that final dollar amount would be.
Yeah, I can't exactly tell you how much it costs to fill up my truck.
I haven't had it empty
in so long that I honestly don't know. I mean, I could do the math for you. I think it's around a 22-gallon tank, I'm guessing. So whatever. But I just don't. I never have it that close to empty.
Okay. Well,
I'm very
interesting.
And I'm like this. If I happen to run an errand in my wife's car, I will always fill her car up while I'm out in it. Well, not always. I mean, if it's
why would you ever be doing that?
If it's three,
one of your kids has your car for some reason.
Or she needed the truck to help her someone with something. Whatever. I mean, there are scenarios where that can't happen.
Okay.
And yes, I will then be like, all right, I'm going to fill your tank up.
We have, so that's all settled. Mostly covered. Mostly covered for today.
Yeah.
We have Joe Ostrowski today from BetQL Daily. We'll have Sal on as well. And then the Sabres are in Ottawa tonight for a 6 o'clock pregame show, Steve Foley Law pregame show, and then 7:05. It's Thursday, and I spent a little bit of time on props for these playoff games. Okay. Plus, we have Joe today. Do you have, this might be like not an easy, well, almost impossible question. I don't know. Like, we're still living in this world where everybody gets the ball for the Bills. That's both teams in this game. Like, there's no obvious, for, with Denver or with Buffalo, other than Allen, like, there's no obvious, got to stop this guy. Got a key on, well, I don't mean Keon Coleman.
Keon, but
you gotta, you don't have a guy here, right, for either team that's right. So obvious. So I wonder, do you, does anybody have a player in, you know, apart from Allen, a player in this game that you like for some certain reason? With the Bills receivers, Cooper was away. He's been in and out. I'm drafting these playoff best ball teams every day, and I've gotten the 101 plenty of times, which is Allen in these drafts. And then it's about filling in other Bills. And when I get to Cooper, Coleman, Kincaid, they're like all the same to me. For the whole playoffs. Like, that's not just the Denver game.
Mm-hmm.
But for the whole postseason, Shakir is a little bit above. Cook is above. And then Shakir. And then it's like anybody. Hollins, you know, it's like anybody after that. So I guess I just wonder whether it's specific to playing Denver. And by the way, I just took a quick glance. I thought your sweatshirt was orange. I thought you were making a statement. But it's more red than orange. Is there a certain, like, order here, pecking order, one player you like for the game? Why should I not have said that about your shirt?
I'll tell you off the air. Nobody okay. needs to hear me tell you this on the air. I would say Sutton. I'm not looking at the Broncos receiving stats. Sutton has like 40 more catches than any other receiver on the team. I think that he is the guy that it's 81 catches, 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. I mean, those aren't like I'm the best receiver in the league numbers or even really close, but they're nice. So I feel like if there is a guy on Denver that I'm thinking most about, it's him still.
He's 80 catches and who's second?
81 catches. Receiver-wise, Vele is the second leading receiver with 41.
That's a
Javonte Williams has 52, but he's a running back.
That's a smaller gap than the Bills.
Really?
Just receivers?
Yeah.
Shakir 76, Hollins 31.
Okay. All right. So it's kind of it's very similar in that way, although Sutton's a very different player than Shakir is.
Would you think of Shakir like this then? For Denver? Or just in general?
It's funny that this lines up this way and that we ended up here. I obviously did not plan this, but he's the guy that I'm waiting to say that I think is the key to the whole thing. I think Sertan, especially in the red zone, if I'm Denver, I'm going to put Sertan on Cooper, I think, and just take him away. So, okay, there's one and one. You're done there, probably, how they play it. And, you know, I don't know that means Allen will necessarily go away from Cooper or that Cooper can't, you know, win his share of reps there, but Sertan is excellent, and so that might just be kind of a dead zone. And I feel like the slot guy usually, now, unless it changes, maybe Denver comes into this game, maybe Denver is doing the same thing in a vastly more sophisticated way than we are.
Well, but I don't appreciate that.
Looking at the Bills receiver and going like, well, Shakir's the guy. Like we should put Pat on Shakir. Like he's the money guy.
You have their stats. What's Sutton's yards per catch?
13.3.
And Shakir is 10.8. 4 touchdowns. Is it not just, by the way, is it not incredible that the Bills won 13 games while having one wide receiver catch more than 31 passes?
Yeah, it is.
Allen is probably going to win the MVP.
And it's not like Kincaid smashed either.
44.
Yeah.
I mean, with one wide receiver catching more than 2 passes a game.
Everybody eats.
That's not even eating. I'm not trying to start anything, but that's barely eating. But, I mean, really, 31. Shakir, 76. Kincaid, 44, which is not even great. Cook, 32. I would never have guessed it would be less than that.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2 a week. And then 31 for Hollins and Samuel. Samuel works his way to a tied for second in catches among Bills wide receivers.
After a year where it was, you know,
where
it's pretty easy to forget that he was on the team.
Where
at,
is he?
At times for me. So
at 8 yards per, by the way, not much. So anyway, Sutton is for you. Like Shakir, it's really the same for me as it always was on him. I'm impressed with how he plays. You know, obviously for the draft capital, he's a win. But, like, there's no touchdowns, and there's hardly ever, like, a big game, right? It's just the floor is high when it comes to Shakir. And you need that. This team needs that. But the guy I think, I don't know, like, I feel that I'm probably going to be wrong here picking one. The guy I think I want for these rosters is Cooper. I mean, Cooper's had half a season. He was hurt. Then he missed last week. But he caught 20 passes for the Bills in 8 games. That's 2.5. Anyway, it's a better rate than the other guys, but still.
The thing that would push me to consider him as like this guy, if we're talking about like what we're talking about, leading receiver, go-to guy, however you want to phrase it. The thing that mostly would lean me toward him has nothing to do with how he's looked playing or what the matchup is and whether the opposing team has a shutdown corner that they may just mark up on him or whatever. It's simply that he has been at a top level his entire career, basically. And the Bills, they still haven't really, there hasn't been a validation for like, oh, they got that guy now. And, you know, if you think maybe they've just been squatting on that the whole time here, he was injured, missed some time. By the time he came back, they pretty much were clinched, at least for the division, you know, and kind of coasted to the 2 seed once the 1 was off the table. Maybe you think they're just waiting to, like, spring a whole new bunch of stuff, and Cooper is the focus of it. That could happen. I mean, I'm saying it like I'm a little sheepishly suggesting it because, I can't get all the way there to advocate like, oh, this is going to happen, but it could. Like, I mean, I had the thought, myself. I kind of dismissed it, but it's possible that, you know, Cooper comes out a Sunday and you're like, oh wow, I did not see 8 for 125 and 2 coming. Because there's no indication that that's going to be their offense. But, you know, all it takes is for, you know, a game to happen where they're, dusting off stuff that they have not been using.
8 for 125 and 2?
I just made that up, yeah, right.
That's massive. His, at BetMGM, over-under yards is 24.5.
24.5.
Amari Cooper?
Yeah, wow.
Catches are 2.5. And under 2.5 is -190. Allen's completions, 21.5. Over is +100. The money's on under 21.5 completions.
Okay, that to me means people think the Bills are going to win this game comfortably.
Okay.
Right?
Yep. Like that's the spread.
Allen especially there. I mean, Cooper, I don't know how much different. he hasn't filled the stat sheet up, so it's not that jarring, I guess, that those numbers are that low.
It is and it isn't.
Allen's being that low to me, it's not surprising because of the year he's had. It's jarring in that he hasn't produced more, and therefore there's not more expected from him. But Allen's number being that low to me has to be that you think they're ahead by 14 points all afternoon and don't have to bother throwing the ball, I think, because 21 completions is really low.
I guess. I don't feel like I have a sort of an intuition on that number because the Bills have had plenty of games like that, and what are his numbers in those games, right? We had a guy yesterday who pointed out that the Bills have had, I'm not sure I know the exact numbers, but 8 of their 23 losses.
Those are the numbers.
Going back to the Houston playoff loss, were games where they led by 2 scores. And I didn't spend much time on that today, and I'm sorry about that. But my guess is that they sort of took their foot off the gas.
Tell me how sorry.
With the lead. Very, very sorry. I did not spend more time. I was at the fun team meeting.
Can you elaborate?
That's please. My number one excuse, fun, the blaming the fun team.
Fun team meeting?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm on the fun team. Wow. We have a meeting every month.
I didn't know that there was a monthly meeting.
How do you
fun
think?
Team. Another reason why I'm not on the fun team.
How do you think all these fun things?
I don't have time for a weekly meeting
around here. How do you think they end up happening? People have to plan it, and you know, come up with ideas,
yeah.
Like the Super Bowl, which, by the way, is SOUP, so I don't get sued for saying the big game. It's, we're not calling our chili cook-off that we're going to have, the soup cook-off, the big game, because that doesn't make sense.
There's so much happening right now.
I know.
Super Bowl, yeah. Chili cook-off.
What's not happening is like these Bills receiver props. That's what's not happening.
Well, you know what? To hell with the receiver props.
Okay.
I don't care about the receiver props. Nobody cares about the receiver props anymore. You've been talking about the receiver props all friggin' year in here.
Yep.
And like, who's going to catch the ball? All they do is score 31 points a game with nobody catching the ball, apparently. Like, so I don't know. I don't care anymore. I'm not worried about it. You can't make me worried. Not that you're necessarily trying to make me worried. You're trying to have a conversation.
Well, you're the one pretending that you haven't cared about it at all either. Like... We both kind of shared in that, but okay.
Yeah.
That's right. You're right. Somebody should say it. Not counting Week 18, the Trubisky game, they've scored 24 points or more every week since Week 6, 30 or more every one of those games but one, New England. It's happening somehow. It's happening because you get like a couple of passing touchdowns to various guys,
right.
And Cook gets one and Allen gets one.
Right.
One per game for each guy.
There's four
over
touchdowns
the course
a game.
Of the season. There's your four touchdowns.
That's it. Mix in the odd defensive score. They've had a ton of those, but whatever. And yeah, there are your points. So, yeah, I mean, I think at this point, I know it sounds crazy because all year I like refuse to believe. That's one of the reasons I love the Cooper trade so much, that they went and did it. Like, you know, oh, well, it's better if you don't have a guy. Well, no. I mean, it'd be better if you had three guys, right? I need guys that can get open. I need guys that can create separation. Like, I'm going to need that. And so, you know, I had my fun with Everybody Eats. But eventually, like, I'm at a point now where I actually like about this matchup that one of the things, if the Bills still had Stephon Diggs, we'd be in here, I think, okay, should they move him to the slot? What do you think? How much play action? Trying to find ways to get him away from Surtain. And I don't have to worry about that anymore. And if they want to have him lock down Amari Cooper, fine. I'm going to throw the ball to Khalil Shakir and Keon Coleman and whoever else is single covered or even doubled. Whatever, it's going to happen. Like I'm going to find my way. And like it doesn't feel as crippling to have an elite corner, a shutdown corner on the other side, because I don't really know what to do with him if I'm Denver in this game. Like, I think by default I put him on Cooper, but I don't know. Like, do I really need to do that even? But I don't know. I just sort of feel like he's so good that me not having a counterpart in the skill department, you know, a receiver that warrants his attention, is kind of a win for me.
That I respectfully, because I can hear how annoyed you are by this receiver's point coming up again here, but I would like to bring up part of the conversation over the course of the season. I remember asking Eric Wood this, and undoubtedly you and I have talked about it maybe 10 times. As the season went along and the Bills kept winning, is it settled? Is this experiment, as you put it in the summer, is it over? Because they won the division, and hey, anything can happen in the playoffs, you know, miss a field goal, one bad bounce. Like, if it's like that, and you won 13 games with, what were they, second in the league in scoring, with maybe the MVP quarterback, is it reasonable to consider it a failure if this week or some other week, like, nobody gets open, and Allen runs out of time and gets sacked and forces a ball, they get behind, throws a pick. Like, oh, well, I mean, you don't want to hear me be like, told you. If they go win 15 games first, like, I don't think I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the whole experiment, again, that word, is about now. Like, that's why you maybe didn't want to do it. And you don't have you can't have total control over it either.
Yeah.
They did trade Diggs, but it's not like you can just go get whoever you want to have be on your team. I still think, to some extent, it's reasonable to think this whole thing is yet to be determined whether it's been a success.
I think the move for Cooper is informative about answering that question, because it wasn't working. Like there was a problem here. It was back-to-back losses, but they got locked up in those games, and their passing game was basically Allen scrambling around. Like the big plays in the Baltimore game and even the Houston game were largely like busted sort of plays.
Mm-hmm. And there weren't many.
Right. And then they made the move for Cooper. So the fact that Cooper hasn't performed and they haven't used him like Diggs does not, you shouldn't ignore the fact that they felt they needed to do it and have done it, and I think have gotten, it's been useful, even if he's not piling up stats. Having a guy does prove useful. So I don't know. I don't want to say the season certainly is far from a failure offensively. However modest their receiving stats are, they did score a ton of points, second in the league. And the quarterback is, like you just said, you know, the MVP favorite. Whether he wins it or not, we'll see. So from the initial plan to having to get Cooper, I would say everybody eats didn't really work. They felt like they needed to augment that, so they went and did it. So I don't know. I'm not at all here advocating for re-signing Cooper, but you damn well better replace him. I think it matters to have a guy that can even just instill the idea that he's going to beat you bad one-on-one if you try to man up and play man on this team. So I think I'll be shot. Wide receiver train will be boarding again, however this season ends, because Cooper is a free agent, and at his age, I'm not crazy about paying him $25 million or more or whatever it would take at this point to keep him here. If it's, you know, more reasonable than that, then, you know, I'd consider it. But I think they're going to have a hole to fill there.
What about Tyreek? He said he's out.
To hell with him.
You don't want him?
I don't want any part of that. No.
His numbers, by the way, came way down.
I think the cliff comes for small, fast guys. I don't think that lasts forever. So I'd be very, very buyer beware on Tyreek Hill.
Diggs at 30 went out.
Yeah.
Tyreek at 30, 31.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams did all right.
Yeah.
And Cooper. 803-0550, Bills and Broncos, Sunday at 1. Joe Ostrowski, Sal Capaccio, and then at 6, Paul Hamilton with the Steve Foley Law Sabres pregame show, Sabres in Ottawa. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll look for your calls next. This is WGR.